Please stand then for the call to worship. From Hebrews 1, verses 10 to 12, it says, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail." Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your mercies, that you are that faithful God indeed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as you have made all things for your honor and your glory, you uphold all things, and you have certainly provided that one way of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly you will continue to do your good work throughout all the ages of this world until Christ comes again from heaven to gather all believers to everlasting life with you in that perfectly renewed world to come. We long for that day, and we pray that you will continue to enable us by your grace and spirit to serve you in all gladness. We thank you for being with us through the past year, as in all our years, months, weeks, days. You are that faithful one, and so we depend upon your mercies through the Lord Jesus, who went all the way to the cross to bring us forgiveness and everlasting life as we surrender ourselves to him. Thank you for all your blessings, O Lord. Do turn us away from our sins. Lead us. Help us to hear your word, that you would be honored. We do pray it for your glory. In Christ's holy name, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. And let us again confess the true Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. Let us turn to our first hymn, number 303, "Blessed Jesus at Your Word."
Let our hearts and souls be stirred now to see.
Certainly we do need the work of the triune God to make us alive, to bring us spiritual life with eyes and ears to hear, to trust in the Lord Jesus who gave himself at the cross, and then to serve him in all thankfulness. May we do that all our days while in this life, and yes, forever. New Testament reading today is from Revelation chapter 1, the first 8 verses. John the Apostle was inspired to write Revelation 1, starting at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Indeed, Christ is now, of course, ascended to heaven and ruling on the throne with all power, majesty, and glory. He is the one who gave himself and shed his own blood on the cross for the sins of all his people. And so he makes us to be as kings and priests to God, to serve him, to live unto his glory and thankfulness. And we, of course, again, do look for the coming again of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And he will return from heaven and gather all people before him as the judge of all mankind and the savior of all believers. Thanks be to God. We have such assurance in life and in death as we trust in him. Now let's turn to our catechism today on Lord's Day 21. We'll look at that on page 866. Lord's Day 21, questions 54 through 56. We read responsibly. Question 54, what do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? That out of the whole human race, from the beginning to the end of the world, the Son of God, by his Spirit and Word, gathers, defends, and preserves for himself unto everlasting life a chosen communion in the unity of the true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member of this community. Again, the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, of course, consists of all believers from the very beginning of the world, even in the Garden of Eden. As Adam and Eve looked to the Lord and his mercy after they had sinned, and all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are such members of his people, his church, chosen in the unity of the true faith and shall be with him now and always. Question 55, what do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers, one and all, as members of the Lord Jesus Christ, are partakers with him in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each one must feel himself bound to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the advantage and welfare of other members. It is a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters, that the Lord calls us into this fellowship with him and with one another, with other faithful ones, with other believers, that is, of all mankind throughout all ages, and that he grants us spiritual gifts and abilities in order to serve the Lord in gratitude, and that we are so called to do that. We should feel ourselves bound to do that, even to help one another as we can, especially in his church and of course to be good witnesses unto Christ in all of life. Question 56, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? That God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, nor the sinful nature with which I have to struggle all my life long, but graciously imputes to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may nevermore come into condemnation. That is the wonderful message of the gospel, of course, that there's no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who look to Him, those who repent and turn to Him, surrendering all, that we might have all, yes, the blessings of God now and for eternity to come. Praise be to God for that assurance of forgiveness of all our sins and our sinful nature that Jesus provided with His perfect, holy nature, His thoughts, words, and deeds, that we might have life in Him. Well, as the Lord's people, we have such comfort in the gospel, of course, in life and in death, and we can depend upon Him. We know that the triune God will hear His people. How wonderful that is. What assurance. And so we can come to Him and worship by His grace and Spirit and pray to the Lord, and He will answer us as He determines in His perfect will. So let us join in time of our prayer together. Again, Heavenly Father, we give You honor, we give You praise, we want to give You all glory, as that is only fitting and right. We know that, and yeah, we know our sinful nature impedes us in so many ways, that we are not perfect in love and thankfulness and in thought, word, and deed, but rather we show our sinful nature yet. We struggle against it, as we read from the Catechism, all the days of our life, and yet we have assurance of cleansing, of being counted righteous in Your sight, because Jesus obeyed, because He did it all, and He paid the penalty at the cross for all Your chosen ones. How amazing, how marvelous that is. It is a plan of redemption that we could never have devised, we could never have thought of, never have imagined that You would do such a thing, that You are the Creator God, and yet our Creator came and took upon Himself a true human nature and obeyed and suffered in our place. And so we want to give You thanks, O Heavenly Father. We do praise You for all Your blessings, even for this life, and You provide for us in all good things. We praise You for this past year, that You have been with us, and You have shown Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your love to Your people. May we truly be thankful then, and bear witness unto the Lord, that we want others to come to this true faith, this salvation in Jesus. And so we ask for Your blessings in that way. Guide us as a congregation, as families and individuals, that we would serve You gladly, be with all our denomination and wherever the word of Christ is proclaimed this day, that it will show its power and its majesty. We pray again, many would be won to Christ and built up in faith and new obedience, as we want that for ourselves, certainly. And we ask for Your blessings upon Your churches. We pray for Grace Reformed at Willows, California today, and Reverend David Wojtek. We ask for Your blessings upon him as a new minister and even newly married not many months ago, I believe, but we pray for Your guidance for that congregation, and that You'll build them up in faith and numbers as we pray that for ourselves also. We do pray for the mission works we are involved with in a denomination. We pray for Your people in Omaha and in Montana and at Denver again. We ask for Your blessings in each place and the other mission works as well. And for foreign mission works, we pray for them. We pray for those in the Philippines and those with health needs at this time. We pray for Your mercies with Roy Bernalis as he has the cancer. We pray for Your direction for him and others, and You'll continue to build up Your people in those places as well. We pray for Christians who are persecuted for the faith at this time. May they be strong in You. And certainly there are the enemies of the faith who want to do that persecution even at this Christmas season and so forth. But we pray that all believers there will be strong and serve You, and their enemies might be won to the Lord as well. We do pray for various individuals we have brought before You. We pray for the Nielsen family. Ask for Your blessings upon them. And even as Jerry goes to care for his father, Jerry Sr. We pray for your goodness to be manifest. You know, it's most likely he has a brief time left in this world, but we thank you for the faith that he has confessed for many years and pray your continued direction and mercy would be evident. Guide with all physical care he receives and be with Brother Evan also and stepmother as they care for him. All things, may you receive the honor and the glory. Be with Jacob at this time. We thank you for your mercies, even as he's going through cancer treatments and he's able to go to church this day in Aberdeen. We pray for your continued blessings upon him and Joan and other family members. May all the siblings also look unto you through this time of trial. Pray for Reverend Bowen. Ask for your blessings upon him with the back disc and all, that he can be able to stand and walk in better measure and continue to serve in the church there. Be with Reverend Lastly. And thank you. He is at home and in the pulpit again. We pray for complete recovery from the stroke for him. Pray for Rodney as he gets another opinion. We pray that you'll guide and direct with any prostate cancer that he has. And again, help us to hear your word, and we do pray that you would enable me to proclaim it, that you would be honored. Again, build us up in faith and service. We pray for our state and nation, that righteousness would go forth instead of the evils of our times and our culture. We pray for the protection of the unborn, certainly, and in this next year coming, an election year, we pray for godly leaders who would direct us according to the principles of your holy word. Again, be with us, we pray, and may you be honored in all we say and do. May we respond to you rightly in faith and new obedience as we pray it with the forgiveness of our sins through Christ our Lord in his holy name. Amen. Let's turn then to hymn number 59, Forever Settled in the Heavens. God's word is manifest, it is proclaimed to us, and it will never, never fail. Thanks be to God. Let us stand to sing. Passage for the sermon today is Psalm 119, verses 89 to 96. No, not all the Psalms, so you don't have to sit here for half an hour before I read it. No. Psalm 119, starting at verse 89. In verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad." Now, you know, in past Christmas seasons, there have been, of course, a great deal of special traveling as family and friends have met together. And if some were going, say, to unfamiliar places without GPS, perhaps the saying was fulfilled numerous times. That is, men don't like to stop and ask for directions. Yet getting that may be exactly what is needed. You know, still some imagine they may never need that kind of help, or they may doubt that what they hear, what they receive, will be correct. For sometimes directions from people who are all quite fallible can mislead us. Still, there is one, of course, our God, whose infallible word, his infallible words of direction, we can always rely upon, and what we always truly need. His holy word, the Bible, is to be, "You're my guide in all of life." And certainly, dear ones, then a renewed commitment to seek his word diligently will be most fitting in starting a new year. Yes, that will be an excellent New Year's resolution. For the Lord God has given the perfect guide that you and I might live according to it in 2024 and always. And so the writer of Psalm 119 clearly saw the scriptures as essential for his life. He said, "I would have died without it. I would not have had a life we're living in anyway." And we're to have our outlook and our actions founded on the same. And so first, God's word stands forever by his faithfulness. And secondly, God's word is given for the salvation of his people. And third, God's word must be sought continually. Well, Psalm 119, of course, contains all manner of descriptions regarding the Holy Scripture, and they are not unconnected thoughts, but apply God's word to all of life, as in the various situations the author was going through. For one thing, we can see that he was persecuted, perhaps as an Israelite of the Maccabean period between the Old and New Testament times. And you can know at that period there was Greek or Assyrian domination over Israel then. Also, there was a group of Jews themselves who persecuted those speaking out for God's law. They thought it'd be better just to go along with the Greek culture than to face trouble and so forth. Well, today also there are unbelieving Jews who say they're atheists, but they want to keep the traditions that just hold the Jewish people together. Some have, you know, even had sympathy for Hamas until seeing their recent barbarity. In any case, the psalmist here holds to the true word of God, and this may more likely be written by David himself, though he's not listed as the author. It could be when he was persecuted by King Saul. Whoever it is, the author here shows that God's word stands forever by his faithfulness. Yes, the faithful God, who is the one who made heaven and earth by his word. In verse 89, it is the Lord, standing for the Hebrew I am, whose direction we have as the Bible. The triune God has always been, of course, and he is the covenant-keeping God, the Lord, with those capital letters indicating that. His word is eternal, is forever alive and full of consolation and instruction for His people especially. O Word is obviously the most general term for the Lord's truth as stated, promised, or commanded. We're told it's settled or stands firm in heaven. Yeah, what does that mean? Well, yes, by His verbal command, all things were created. You know the beginning at Genesis that God said, "Let there be," and so it was. His Word is obviously powerful and effective to accomplish His good and holy purposes. And yet, if you and I just look at this world, we see such uncertainty. Many, many disorders and troubles, all due to man's original sin. And that is obviously the case, whether we're thinking of illness or accidents or storms or whatever. And when we do see those things, you know, without reasoning in faith, one could doubt God's unchangeable word when the world is so changeable. Oh, beloved, let us rather hold to the fact that in heaven there is no change, only perfection forever. Therefore, when we hear that His word is settled in heaven, let us remember that place, that most safe and peaceful realm, that you and I may be assured God's word is perfect, it is planned from eternity. Indeed, the scriptures are not old-fashioned words that some may imagine they are. They're not old words one can safely ignore. No, that's the way of curse, to ignore His word. But heeding the Bible is blessing. Blessing for us. And certainly the gospel of Christ is perfect and eternal as the Lord's plan, and now it's declared to us. We must rely upon it and have great assurance that when salvation is received through faith in that word, it must be certain for those with true faith. Yes, remember the Reformers rediscovered it's a certain gospel and redemption that Christians have. Believers are not to doubt it. We're not to think as they did in the medieval time, well, you have to do enough good deeds and you might make it. You might be accepted by the Lord on that basis. Instead, our Lord Jesus is the living Word of God who made heaven and earth by His command and who gave Himself for all who will trust in Him. And when we do so, of course, we know we have forgiveness and eternal life which stands according to God's faithfulness forever. His word stands forever as He is the one who upholds all things by His word. Verse 90 declares of the Lord, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides." And so you see the author rejoices in God's unchangeableness in upholding all things. What assurance to all who trust in Jesus. To the unbeliever ought to be a terrifying thing, really, that this one will be faithful to judge all as well. But our Lord maintains all generations, all mankind, until the end of this world. And so again, with the passing of each and every year, His faithfulness should certainly be reviewed in our thoughts. That should be rather obvious. And our Lord is to be thanked by you and me for upholding all things and for giving us every moment of life as long as He determines. Indeed, dear ones, the Bible itself is a great gift of God's faithfulness. It declares His promises to us. And a basic one, you know, was to sustain the world after the flood. He said it as in Genesis 8, seasons and day and night will continue while the earth remains. That's God's promise. That's His absolute assurance. So much for those who are so worried about climate change destroying the earth. As one said, God's faithfulness sustaining the world should lead us gradually to be so persuaded of the truth of heavenly doctrine as to be free from doubt. Truly, our Lord is good to all generations. And yet, of course, sinful man, and we can be tempted in the same way to just be filled with complaint. Perhaps over inflation, how terrible it is at this time, or the open borders we have, which are real problems. But we're to trust in our Lord, of course. A lesser problem in the minds of some might be, say, they're not able to afford buy their own house right after college, for instance. And yet that's been rather common in all generations, and it's a rather silly complaint. Oh, Christians are instead to rely upon our Lord Jesus, who upholds all things by His Word. He proves it in His works for our earthly and our eternal good continually. Again, as for earthly provisions, we have each experienced that in multitudes of ways. Multitudes that we should not take for granted. You know, I probably said before in my experience how I was so amazed with God's provision when I had little and had to spend little in my months, 5 months overseas after seminary. The Lord so provided and greatly encouraged me even to pursue the ministry. Anyways, in verse 91, they continue. Well, that would include heaven and earth, all generations, all creatures, all things continue according to His ordinances. I think that means decisions by our all-wise judge regarding human situations. Yes, you and I should know all people have rights and duties proclaimed in the Scriptures for fair dealing with other people and faithfulness toward our God above all. Truly all are His servants. Therefore, you and I are to be obedient and humble regarding His decisions. Again, the word of the Lord is to direct how our lives are to be upheld, not brought down in sin. Truly, brothers and sisters, we have a most wonderful gift in the Scriptures. To know right order for our lives, for human society, for relating to the Lord above all. So let us rejoice. His word stands forever by His faithfulness. And then God's word is given for the salvation of His people, of course. Well, the psalmist does trust and rejoice in the truth of God's word to lead us to forgiveness and life. After all, it's given for eternal salvation, certainly. Consider verse 94. He said, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. Again, that's an assurance expressed that He is the Lord's. He belongs to God by the Lord's unmerited favor, by grace, not by man's own diligence. He trusts in the Lord's mercy and is saved from sin and ruin forever. Therefore, in thankfulness, he has true zeal and love for God's commandments. He seeks after them. And how much more that's to be apparent in us. For we know the Son of God went all the way to the cross to redeem His people, to save us from misery and ruin. Yes. To save us from all our sins and condemnation. We know of that way more than the psalmist did. Yet because of the eternal saving work of the Lord's grace, the writer says gladly, verse 96, your commandment is exceedingly broad. That is, he recognizes God's authority to give us orders in all things. And therefore, you and I must acknowledge that same truth. The commands of God's law plainly show us our sins and how we need to repent of them continually. When we do, we have assurance. We have liberty, as the writer confessed in verse 45, saying, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Indeed, for you and me to follow God's word in faith is the way for sin's dominion to be overthrown. But if we forget the Scriptures, we can expect trouble and sadness. After all, if God, through His holy word, gives faith in the Savior Jesus, is eternal salvation. Scripture must guide us in our living. And so may no temptation or trouble lead any of us away from His Word. You know, it's terrible when we pray about Christians who are persecuted, if that arises, and some would show unfaithfulness then. For the devil's plan is obvious. It's evident. Verse 95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. The evil one seeks to do that by drawing us away from God's testimonies or commandments, obviously. And you know, Satan did that very thing with Eve first and then Adam in the garden. And you know, any forsaking of God's law is what Satan would use to draw us away from our confession of Christ, even to be able to speak for Him. And he would have us then think, there's no hope for us. However, dear ones, if you and I follow the gospel of grace, repent daily, confess our Savior, heed His commandments in thankfulness, as His word is truth, that's the means by which we receive saving faith, of course, by that word, and so we're to live with that gratitude. We must say then, as in verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Indeed, may you not and I never forget God's word, even when going through affliction. As in verse 92. For then, as always, the believer's sense of joy and life is to be revived by God's word. For through it we are born of incorruptible seed, as said in 1 Peter 1, that regenerating power of God's Spirit working through Scriptures. Well, with that eternal salvation, you know many Christian martyrs in the past, as in our day also, as there are many, they have had the psalmist's confidence. They have thought, for example, if I die for Christ's sake, I am still perfectly safe, having righteousness and eternal life in Him. For all Christians are purchased with His shed blood. So let us thank the Lord always. His word is given for our eternal salvation, certainly. It's also given for temporal salvation in ways. Well, the faithful servant looks to the Lord God for deliverance from enemies and all earthly troubles, and you know, you can think of a wonderful example of that in the Apostle Paul. He often experienced it, and he had a whole list of things that he had suffered for the Lord in 2 Corinthians 11. With that kind of thing in mind, you and I are also to consider God's testimonies, or the assuring record like that, in all of Scripture. The Lord is faithful. Yes, the Ark of the Covenant with the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments was also called the Ark of the Testimony. For the covenant law was a testimony of God's faithfulness and how He expects His people to live and how He will act in response to our living. And oppressors are warned by those same commandments. Indeed, the faithful are to say, verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. That is, he would have given up in trouble, if not finding comfort in God's law, even. Well, how are we to have comfort in those commandments that we know we cannot keep in perfection? We find consolation when we first admit our sin is exposed there, but that we also hear and heed the call to turn to the Lord Jesus for forgiveness and life. That's really the first things those commandments tell us. And certainly the psalmist looked forward to God's grace in that one. We can see he was, again, not self-righteous. He depended on the fact that God gave him life freely. And beloved, since Christ has come in time, you and I are to have greater comfort that He has fulfilled the law for us in His perfect obedience and sacrifice. We're assured then of God's eternal love by which we have temporal salvation also in ways. That is, think how the Lord's commandments tell us that we are to live and how to live as separated, delivered from this evil world from the way of curse and destruction, and to rather live out the redeemed life. Yes, let us each rely on the grace of Jesus Christ, which is the primary message to fill our hearts through the hearing of the law and the gospel. And we have his assurance, his comfort. Trusting in that word, we will desire to do good works also. We will seek to glorify our Lord. We'll seek to do good to people in this world, as with protection of human life, obviously. You know, we think of the issues of our time and the evil culture and the world around us. Sometimes I hear it, it's not to be, that ministers just say, well, just preach the gospel. That's all ministers to do. Well, fine, preach the gospel. What does it mean? And what does it result in? The whole third part of our catechism is about thankful living according to the commandments of the Lord. That we want to do things for the good of others, even in this world. Indeed, the Lord may often give us temporal salvation or deliverance from troubles here, but if not, in any case, the consolation of acceptance with Him forever brings a blessed life, even in the most desperate circumstances. It is truly so marvelous that God's word is given for the salvation of His people. Praise to the Lord always, then. Well, third, God's word must be sought continually, and that's, you know, an obvious great exhortation of the entire psalm. It extols the scriptures in that way. And the word of God must be sought, for the best of this life cannot satisfy truly. In the first half of verse 96, it's declared, I have seen the consummation of all perfection, that is, the limit of all earthly and human perfection, as it were, compared to scripture. There's a definite limit to every created thing, however it appears. David, for example, had seen Goliath fall as the limit of giants in human strength. Others were swift, as in Asael, who pursued Abner to his own death. Some were wise, like Ahithophel, whose shrewd counsel to David and to attack David later was not heeded. Or good-looking like Absalom, whose rebellion brought his death. Solomon, as in Ecclesiastes, sought to find contentment, joy, lasting purpose in every earthly enterprise he lists. He fully sought that to the limit of all laughter, pleasure, wealth, and work. But he certainly found, as he said, all was really imperfect, not satisfying to the soul, finally. And you and I know, and we must remind ourselves, apart from God, as Solomon said, each pursuit comes to nothing, to futility or emptiness, where all earthly things will be swept away by death, the final judgment, even like a flood or a fire can take all away. And so, fellow believers, the message of the psalmist is that only the Lord's grace and His commandments, in them can you and I find our satisfaction and our duties. For the best of this life, this world cannot satisfy. Oh, we could think again recently how we're reminded of that great privilege and blessing it was for Mary to give birth to Jesus. How amazing that miraculous birth was, His incarnation, His birth, which came according to angelic message. Yet giving that birth was not what she relied upon. It was great joy on earth. But the best things of this life cannot truly satisfy. And she looked to Jesus as her Savior. As you and I must, of course. Clearly, we must always seek Him, our Savior and Lord, as found in the Scriptures, and may it be more evident, more seen in each of us, that Christ is that one, and we belong to Him. Thanks be to God. That's what the gospel proclaims to us. Yes, in the written word of God, we learn and we find contentment in the Lord to give good witness to Him also. God's word will be, it must be sought continually. And last, we must seek to be directed by it always. Again, His commandment is exceedingly broad. The word for commandment there is in the singular, pointing to all of God's law or word, which applies to all of life. What it tells us, again, is superior to all else, is to direct us. And serving God is perfect freedom then. That's what you and I and all people were created to do. Therefore, may we each sincerely echo verse 133 of this psalm, saying, "Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." Truly, God's wisdom is found in the scriptures, and it's to be found in us when we're directed thereby. Believers, you know, we know right and wrong, according to God's word, beyond what unbelievers will ever know. We see that plainly when society today goes in the ways of destruction. And why is that happening? Again, it's plain. It's because of the forsaking of His word. But Scripture is unlimited. It's exceedingly broad. It's unlimited in application. It's ever upheld by the Lord as the truth. It reaches to all cases, circumstances, and times. Therefore, dear ones, let us be certain that the best life on this earth is, first of all, one lived according to the Bible. It lifts our minds beyond the limits of this sin-cursed world. It directs us rightly. It takes us from confidence in man. It takes us from confidence in our own wisdom, our strength, our supposed righteousness, to seek comfort and happiness in Christ alone. So how vitally important it is to seek to be directed by the Scriptures continually. Well, you know, if David wrote this psalm before being king, he probably only heard the books of Moses being read. They did not have all their own copies of Scripture. All the people did not. Yet without a copy of them, which kings had, and only experiencing a beginning of God's revelation, he loved it. He loved it, and so should we. As Matthew Henry said, it should shame us who have the full declaration of God's revelation in all Scripture if we are cold to His Word. Again, we have our own complete Bibles to read, perhaps multitude copies of them. That's an amazing provision of the Lord for us. And so for one plain application, personal devotions in studying the Scripture and responding to the Lord. That should be so important to us if we take the provision of His Word seriously. Yes, may each one seek daily to read or hear God's Word. And you can know the Bible will be a faithful guide to you then in this next year. Oh yes, let each one seek God's Word and respond in faith. So that will be the case. May you and I be determined in greater measure to follow the Scriptures and all that is taught and proclaimed to us, all that's promised, and all the ways they direct us. May we each hear and follow in all of life. Yes, certainly in 2024, may we so glorify the Lord our God and our Savior. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank You. You are that faithful one, and You have provided for us, even in Your word, as You proclaimed, "Let there be," and so it was. The universe was created, and You made us in Your image, and certainly You are that faithful one who calls us to respond to You in faith and new obedience, to trust above all in the Redeemer, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That we cannot keep Your commands as we ought in thought, word, and deed, in perfection, but He is the one who has done it all, and so may we truly want to hear the Scriptures in all of life and be so directed as your glad people. Help us to be your witnesses truly, as we must be directed by the word of the Lord God. May that be the reality. May we be diligent in seeking it out at all times and seeking after Christ there. Thank you for all your blessings, O Lord. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, cause us to be more submissive to your holy word, as that is only right and good, and we want it to be so. Guide and direct us as your people. And now we do pray together, as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time we can give of our tithes and offerings to the Lord in thankfulness. Let's turn to our last hymn, number 540, A Few More Years Shall Roll. As we come to the end of a year, we can always think how this life is brief, but we can always rely upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and everlasting life in Him. Let us stand to sing.
Shall reach the endless rest, the eternal sound. sweet day. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. 'Tis but a little while, and he shall come again, who died that we might live, who lives that we with him may reign. Then, oh, my Lord, prepare my soul for that glad day. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away.
Do you receive the Lord's benediction? And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, heavenly host, praise Father.